Morning, everyone. The reading this morning is taken from John chapter 8, verses 48 down to 59. Jesus claims about himself. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus. "But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this they exclaimed, "Now we know that you're demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. I also want to give some apologies as well. You've got me this morning instead of Pastor Dave. He rang me, or he contacted me late on Thursday, if I could share something this morning. And so if you're thinking this morning's subject was going to be "Life's Too Short to Worry," well, don't worry. He's going to preach next week instead on that subject. Okay. But this morning I want to think particularly what the phrase that Jesus said himself, "Before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham was born, I am. Margaret and I like to watch every now and again that program on the television, "Who Do You Think You are?" There's some amazing stories on occasions. And because of things like that, Mark and I, over the years, have done a bit of research into our own background. Are we hoping it'll be like Danny Dyer or something like that? We end up being knighted to royalty or something of that nature. No, we're not. Far from it. And you want to maybe find maybe there's someone, there's some fortune in the family, or there's some fame in the family. No, we don't find any of that either. And Jesus had that question said to him, "Who do you think you are?" Jesus was telling the people that he was God. And they didn't like it. Because the word "I am" is the name of God. If you go back into the Old Testament, we were really clearly there that Moses was called by God. He was called by God to take the Israelites out of Egypt and bring them into the promised land of Canaan, Israel, as we would now know it. And Moses was very reluctant. "I can't speak." He put himself down and he put many obstacles in the way. And one of the things he asked God, he said, "Well, if I'm going to go to those people, they're going to know who you are. What's your name?" And God told Moses this: "Tell them, I am sent you. I am who I am. I am who I am, which I am." The name of God is I am. In the Bible, we would call it Yahweh or Jehovah. And the Jews, even today, won't use that name. It's too holy as far as they are concerned. But it's a personal name of God. And Jesus equates himself with God. He finds equality with God, and he says, "I am." That's why they picked up stones to stone him, because they thought he was blaspheming. But I was thinking over a period of time, what does it really mean when we say "I am"? Maybe in relation to God, and then in relation to the Lord Jesus himself. I want to explore that a little bit this morning, and hopefully try and encourage us a little bit. It's more of a devotional in some ways this morning, but I think it might be a challenge as well when we think of who God is. I think the first thing I want to think about of who God is, he is self-existent. You and I have a birth certificate, don't we? I've got to produce mine shortly for various reasons. I won't go into what it is for. I have to produce my birth certificate. But there is no birth certificate for God. If you look at the Bible, very clearly it says this. He is from everlasting to everlasting. It's very difficult for us in our finite minds to understand that. But before creation ever came into being, God existed. It's something maybe we can't grasp very much, but it's true. Before creation ever existed, God was there. If there were no trees, if there was no sea, if there was no planets, God would still be there. He is self-existent. He wasn't born as you and I are. And in fact, we read that quite clearly in the scripture. Genesis chapter 1, being quoted to us this morning. If you look at creation, it says there, in the beginning, God. Actually, you could say, even before the beginning, God, as far as we would be concerned. And at the end of eternity, he will still be there, because he will still be God. A self-existent one, whereas you and I are not like that. It's God. He also has personality. I use the word I am. I am. Not I was or I will be, but I am. There's a personality that's there. In fact, we read in Jeremiah this. God says to the people, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. We also read also that he has grief. He understands what it is to be a person, a real person. He understands what it is to have joy and to have grief and to have sorrow and all the other aspects of human existence. For we read this, the Lord was grieved that he made man on the earth, and he was filled with pain because of what had happened. That's the story building up to the story of Noah. But another aspect as well, when we think of the word I am, is the word life. It was prayed earlier on about life. We read again in Genesis chapter 2 that God breathed into Adam and brought forth life. But we also read as well that he's immutable. In other words, he's unchanging. I, the Lord, do not change like a shadow that shifts. And we also read as well that he's real. The Lord is my shepherd, my light, my life. And we also read as well there's a necessity. We have to deal with a living God. That's about God. And Jesus is equating himself exactly in exactly the same way. He's saying he's exactly the same thing. First of all, self-existent. John chapter 1. I love the Gospels. But in John chapter 1, we read this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus is equal with God. He is God the Son. And Jesus makes it clear that he is self-existent. There is no birth certificate for Jesus. You know, you couldn't find a date where he was born. Yes, he came into the world 2,000 odd years ago. But he was already self-existent. Back into Genesis chapter 1 again, we read this. In the beginning, God, but he also said, we shall make man in our image. We shall do this. God was at work in that. But Jesus the Son, we read this, that through him all things were made. Nothing has been made without him. He is the one who is self-existent himself. And he's certainly got personality. You look through the scriptures and you read then in John chapter 2, he goes to a wedding. We tend to think of Jesus being a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he is. But he went to a wedding. I do not think he was upset. I do not think he was sorrowing. I don't think he was grieving at that time. There were no tears there, maybe tears of a cake, but there were no other tears at all. He was there enjoying himself. We read throughout the scriptures how much he would eat and drink and so forth. And he showed the full extent of his love when he said to his disciples, I'm going to wash your feet. Not I'm going to wash your feet, I'm going to go to a cross and I'm going to die for you. They didn't understand any of that. But he showed that he had a personality. He cared for people. He would raise people from the dead. He would talk to people about their need of coming to God. He would do things which would help people, raise them up as it would be, bring health and well-being to people. But most of all, he showed that he loved them. He had a personality. Do you know Jesus cares? Jesus really does care about us. That's why he came alongside us, to be with us, to understand what it is to be a human being, to go through the whole gamut of life as it would be. But he's also life. It was mentioned in prayer then. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But not just that. We're talking about a funeral this coming week, a Thanksgiving service. And what will be said in that service almost certainly is this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He or she who believes in me will never die. And those who do die will still be alive, because they'll be alive in me. Jesus is the real life. He is the real deal, as it would be. We have life, but we have life in and through him, because he is life. But he's also immutable. He's unchanging. We read in Hebrews this, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have a friend from back many years ago. And people will often say to him, boy, you haven't changed. Well, he has. He's gone bald. He's put an awful lot of weight on over the years as well. But he's still who he was. He changes. We change. I look at myself in a mirror and look at a photograph of years past and think, is it the same person? But it is. We change. We change also with moods, don't we? It depends how we feel one day. We could be great one day, and another day we're not so good. I'm sure after last Sunday evening, a lot of Welsh people were really, really in a good place. If you're Australian, you probably weren't. It depends how we feel on occasions. We change, but God doesn't change. And Jesus doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, there's a great confidence we can have. That we come to one who not just knows us, but he's unchanging. And the biggest part of the unchanging element is that he continues to keep on loving us. And he will never, ever stop loving us. There are occasions maybe where we fall out with one another. Sadly, Jesus never falls out with us. He's always there alongside us, drawing us close to himself. Because he's an unchanging person. But he's not just unchanging, he's real. I said about God being real earlier on, about the Lord is my shepherd and so forth. But we read this very clearly. He exists. Not only does he exist, he knows how to deal with temptation. We read in the scriptures very clearly that he was tempted. We read this. He was tempted like this in every way, yet without sin. He knew what it was to have all the things that attack us. And he could deal with it. And because of that, we too can be handled those things. Not through our strength. Do we remember that song we sang earlier on? Yet not I, but through Christ in me. We can handle those things. I was in a meeting yesterday, and some people were commended into some work, and I was asked to pray over them. And one of the things I picked up from Philippians was this. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That's because he's real. And that reality can be in us as well. He understands every area of our lives. And the reality is there. It's not a virtual reality. You don't put a box on your face and try and look at something. It's real. He's there. And there are occasions in our lives when we go through difficult days. And we can't understand how we can cope with it. And God, by the Spirit, through the Lord Jesus Christ, comes to us and gives us the strength to cope, to go through, to handle those situations. Because it's him in us enabling us to go through that because he is real. But not just that. There's a necessity of having him as a personal saviour. We talked about earlier on, about singing that song, about if you heard, about calling a saviour. He's a personal saviour. There's a necessity of dealing with God. We read this. No one comes to the Father but by him. We can only come into God's presence through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can only have a relationship with God through him. We can only have our sins forgiven through him. We can only know the love of God through him. We can only know the peace of God and the joy of God and the patience of God and all the other aspects of God through him. We cannot build it up ourselves. We might want to try and do so, but we can't. It's only through him. And as we yield to him, as we have that necessity of having him in our lives, then we can know life in all its fullness. Then we can know the power of God working in and through us. Then we can know God really as we should know God. Not as some abstract being, but one who is actually with us through thick and through thin. One who cares abundantly about us. Jesus quoted that phrase, I am, a number of times in the scriptures. And in each one of them, it relates to his work in his ministry and how it applies to us. He says, first of all, I am the bread of life. And the bread of life that has come down from heaven. It speaks of his birth. It speaks of his incarnation. It speaks of the understanding that God became man and dwelt among us. In a few weeks' time, we're going to celebrate Christmas. I have to say, it doesn't seem that long ago since we celebrated the last Christmas. They say as you get older, time goes quicker. I know it doesn't really, but it appears to be that way anyway. But we're going to celebrate, aren't we? God becoming man and dwelling amongst us, becoming one with us. Then we read of Jesus being the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And that speaks about his work in his ministry, about him coming around, being one who cares for us, one who came into the world to show us who God is, but also to tell us that we could have a relationship with him. And then we read that he says that he is the gate for the sheep, or the good shepherd, both in the same chapter, John chapter 10. And that speaks of his death, because without his death, we could never have life. It almost seems, it's a paradox, isn't it? To have life, we have to have death. In fact, Jesus said this, if you want to find life, you need to die. Die to yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. Jesus died for us upon a cross that we might have life and life in all its fullness. The gate and the shepherd that was there. But that was not the end. We haven't come this morning to praise and worship one who's dead, but one who's alive. Again, back to John chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Jesus came back to life again. Praise God for that. But then he speaks again later on about I am the way, the truth and the life. About the need then of him going back to the Father. Because his ascension means that we can know the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we read very clearly that Jesus said this, that the Holy Spirit will enable us to do things we can't do ourselves. He will enable us to be like God, to walk with God each day. And then finally he says, I am the true vine, which speaks of the Holy Spirit falling down upon us. You see, as we abide in him, as we dwell in him, tabernacle in him, as we live in him, the power of God can be seen in our lives. How often we miss the power, how often we miss the presence of God, because we're caught up with ourselves instead of being caught up with him. For he is the reality. He is the necessity. If you notice, all of those I am statements relate to every aspect of his life in sequence in John's gospel. That's the nature of our God. He wants to show us how much Jesus is God. The one that we worship this morning is God the Son. We also worship God the Father. We also worship God the Holy Spirit. There's equality that's there. And the challenge for me this morning is this. That's not just academic. How much do I really know Jesus in my life day by day? How much do I appreciate him in my life day by day? How much do I actually walk with him in my life day by day and acknowledge him? Or am I just going through the motions, as it would be? You know, I walk and do these various things. I've got all my plans. But do I reference them to God? Do I let God take charge? Do I let God lead, guide, and direct? Do I allow him to actually fill me? To give my words, to give my life, to give my whole being into his hands? Because he knows what's best for me. You know, we have plans, don't we, for ourselves? I'm sure Dave had real plans to be back here this morning to preach. He's in Italy. God's got other plans. And sometimes we need to submit to his plans because they're better for us than our plans. Because here is one who is self-existent. Here is one who has a personality. Here is one who is life. Here is one who is unchanging. Here is one who is real. And here is one who we come to know. If you're a Christian this morning, I want to encourage you. You're a son or you're a daughter of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords. Think about that for the moment. The creation of the whole universe, the one who was there before the creation ever came into being, is your Father and your Savior and your Redeemer and your Lord and your friend. Praise God for that. And he says this, I want you to live for me day by day. In fact, John in his gospel tells us this. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and that's exactly what we are. But he also challenges us as well. Those who name the name of Jesus should live as Jesus lived. That's a challenge, isn't it? That's a real challenge to each one of us. A few thoughts this morning about Jesus saying, behold, before Abraham was, I am. That I am God is my God. I trust is your God as well. The one who cares, the one who walks with us, and the one who wants us to have a deep and personal relationship with him every day. If that's not your God this morning, can I challenge you to come to the cross? To realize that you are a sinner, as I am a sinner. To understand that Jesus died for you and he died for me. We can't make ourselves right before God. We can't come into God's presence because we've done good things. We can only come there through the death and the blood shed of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to him like that, he says, I will never cast you aside. So we turn in faith to him. And we return away from what's wrong in our lives and accept him as Savior, then you become really alive and you become a son and a daughter of the living God. May that be true for each one of us. And if we are, may we challenge this morning, are we living as Jesus lived? May we do so. And so we bring him honor and bring him glory. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for who he is, the Son of God, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, we would pray that each one of us here might understand what that really means. Yes, you are self-existent. Yes, you've got life. Yes, you've got personality. Yes, you are real. You're a necessity and you're unchanging. But Father, help us to understand it's not just an academic thing or a theoretical thing. It's real for each one of us. And that by your grace and by your mercy, each one of us here might have that living relationship with you. And as we live with you day by day and walk with you day by day, that the world around us might see Jesus in us. And he alone might have the honor and the glory. They'll see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. If anything is said of man, Lord, please remove it. Only the things of yourself might remain. You alone might have the honor and the glory. We ask you, Lord Jesus, now in your precious name. Amen. But we just heard something on here. Lord, have your way. So let's pray for a moment for the Holy Spirit to come, for God to have his way. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Break us when we need to be broken. Bind us when we need to be binded up. Mold us when we need to be molded. But Lord, most of all, fill us. Fill us with a passion for your name. Fill us with a passion for you. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now. Speak, Lord, through your word. Speak, Lord, through your people. But most of all, Father, we pray, fill us with yourself. Holy Spirit, come. Come and touch. May the God of peace, with the blood of the eternal covenant, brought from the dead, our Lord Jesus, our shepherd of the sheep, may he equip us with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to be glory forever and ever. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with us all now and forevermore. Amen.